Thank you very much. Maryland Heights is beautiful. I love your trees and your greenery and the water. It reminds me of Michigan, where I grew up, and Detroit. And Detroit used to be a very beautiful city, the third richest city in America. And of course, you know what's happened of late at Detroit. But Maryland Heights is still gorgeous. And this is a beautiful edifice, and I'm really looking forward to worshiping God with you. Amen. My text this morning is taken from Genesis 17. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Holy Scripture, and beginning at verse 12, reading to verse 13, and this is the Abrahamic covenant, and it is foundational for the Christian faith. And if we can grasp the Abrahamic covenant, we can understand the Christian faith, we can understand much of what's happening in the world. Abraham lived 4,000 years ago. He was from Ur of the Chaldees, which we today call Iraq, and he is called the father of the faith for both the Christians, the Arabs, and many others. And here God is speaking, and he says to Abraham, and he commands him, and says in verse 12, "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your kindness, your mercies in our lives. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And give us boldness to declare our faith and courage to live it in the face of evil, in the face of many challenges on many fronts. And may we never be ashamed of your name. And may we proclaim with joy that Jesus has risen from the dead and that God loves us. And because he loves us, we are happy. Blessed be his holy name. Through him who rose again, we pray. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the covenant. I live in Detroit for 18 years, and I had a vision to go to the West Coast to build a church there in San Diego, and we accomplished that in 1984. And one of my pastimes I love to do is walk and hike. I hike the mountains and I walk the city. And one day I was walking my neighborhood, which is called Southeast San Diego, and it's a very diverse community. You have many Asians, a lot of blacks, Latinos, and whites. And we all live together in relative peace. And I was taking my walk in about a mile and a half from my house, and I entered into an area that was mostly white, and I was surrounded immediately by a gang. And it was a gang of Nazis. And I knew they were Nazis because they told me so. And they said, it's very unwise to walk alone in our territory. And I told them, I'm not alone. My Heavenly Father is with me. And they said, come with us. And so, since there were so many of them, I didn't challenge them. And they took me into their house, and they set me in the middle, and they all debated as to how they would kill me and get rid of me. And I didn't say a thing, and I didn't show any fear, because I know if you show fear to a gang, they're definitely going to kill you. So I just quietly thought on God, and finally the leader said, this is how we'll kill him. And then one of them objected, and he says, I can't let you do that. And he said, why not? He says, because this man went and visited my mother while she was in the hospital, and she was very sick, and he didn't know who she was, and he prayed for her, and she was healed. And so I'm not going to let you kill him. And then another of the Nazis says, I can't let you kill him either, because he talked to my brother. My brother was young and in a lot of trouble, and his life was falling apart, and he counseled with him, and he prayed with him, and now he's doing great, so I can't let you kill him either. And so to make a long story short, the whole direction of the time changed, and the leader said, do you think God could forgive people as mean and evil and racist as we are? And I said, sure he can. He says, if you believe with all your heart, he will forgive you and save you. And he says, do you think we could all come into the church, my whole gang, and the church wouldn't fall down on us? And I said, yes, you can come into the church. We would be honored to receive you. He says, do you think we all could receive Christ and become Christians and get baptized? And I said, yes. Do you think we could all do it this Sunday? And I said, yes again. And so the whole gang came to our church, received Christ, was baptized, and became really good workers in the church for years, and were very serious and dependable. God is good. Amen. These men and women receive God's covenant. And the covenant is in Christ's blood. so the missionaries saw an opening right there, that Christ is the peace child. That God the Father sent his Son so that we would have peace with him and with one another. And if you receive the peace child, God will grant you pardon for all your misdeeds, and he will be at peace with you. Those two headhunter tribes are now Christian tribes, and they've stopped headhunting. They became a part of the covenant. They received the one who was cut for them, bled for them, broke for them, and died for them. You can't do any more than that. And because Christ gave his all, he wants us in turn to do our very best for him. He knows that we cannot be perfect because we have Adam's nature in us, fallen sin nature. But he knows we can be faithful, and he expects us to. He doesn't want us to half-step or to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to be milquetoast. He demands that we do our very best for him. The covenant offers us both blessings and curses. Blessings if we believe and if we follow Christ. Curses if we forsake Christ and turn to other gods and give up our moral values. Christ is the Lord of the covenant, and he is alive. He rose from the dead. The covenant is very much like marriage. When you get married, looking at the woman's perspective, she gets a new name. Traditional marriage, that is. Not hyphenated marriage. In traditional marriage, she takes her husband's name. She is adopted into her husband's family. That's what it means. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? That is the rite of adoption. And that's why she takes his name, and that's why she receives all his worldly goods, because she becomes his sister and therefore entitled to all the property of the family along with him. It really is a beautiful picture. And when you get married, also not only do you get a new name, but you get a new residence. You live with your husband. In like manner, when you are converted to Christ, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. You become a part, a member of the house of God. You have a new name. You become a Christian, a follower of Christ. And you inherit everything that Christ has, because by baptism, you are married to him. Baptism is the covenant. And in the covenant, we get all the privileges of a child of God. You know, the question arises, why do we baptize babies? The Baptists would say you shouldn't baptize babies because they don't understand what they're doing. And they won't remember it anyway. And they don't have free will to choose on their own. So you shouldn't baptize babies in their view. But look with me at Genesis 17. Because this attitude of the Baptist is a profound misunderstanding of the gospel itself. It says here in Genesis 17, verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Now, did you catch that? How old is the baby? 8 days old. He cannot remember what happened. He cannot understand what's happening. Jesus in the gospel, this is the true picture of salvation. In fact, even after you go to a class like I did for 1 year to understand salvation, still at the end of it, you're confused until you're regenerated. I went through a whole year study every week on salvation, and I never understood grace because it wasn't revealed to me. It took the Spirit of God to explain grace to me. But that was the turning point in my life. I lived as though my works would save me. And I was always trying to be the best at everything and amassing more works, and hopefully, somehow, I would impress God that He should forgive me, He should love me, He should accept me. And this was totally wrong focus, because no man has ever been saved that way. All men have been saved by grace. God doesn't need your intellectual understanding. He does not need your works. He does not need your moral values. He wants you to come as humble as a baby. As the song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Or as Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is something the Lord does to us. Faith is not our contribution to God. Faith is God's gift to us. Repentance is something God establishes in our heart. It says in Psalm 80, turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be turned. And then the psalmist says again, turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be saved. God turns our hearts. And therefore, a baby can repent, because he doesn't turn himself, nor more than an adult turns his own self. When I was saved, I kept trying to do it myself. I prayed 3,000 times the sinner's prayer, and it bounced every time, because it was just me. I even went out to the most beautiful scenic places under the stars and beautiful trees, and I prayed, and my prayers seemed to go no higher than the height of the tree. But when the Spirit of God came upon me when I was 13 years old in my dull, boring bedroom in my bed because I had a high fever, I couldn't do any works. It was there that I understood that God saves by grace. It's something unearned and undeserved. And therefore, the baptism of the baby is especially precious. It's my favorite ministry because it, more than any other, is a picture of the grace of God. God's sovereign grace and what He does. You can be walking in sin. You can have the devil in your heart. You can be rolling your eyes. You can have an attitude and the Spirit of God will fall on you and you'll be a Christian the next moment. And you'll say, what happened? I don't feel the same. I don't think the same. I'm not talking the same. I remember a man told me he got drunk every day. God is good, and his love, his grace will overcome any pain, overcome any sin, and it will make us a new creature. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, except you be converted and humble yourself as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That word, little child, means infant. That's how God wants us to come. Not depending on anything in us, but solely on Christ. As Christ said, the man who says, God be merciful to me, a sinner, goes home justified, or just as if he never sinned. He's righteous. Because you're not looking to yourselves, but solely to the mercy of God. Let us trust in it today. It will never let us down. Amen. This time.
Let me follow that up, brother, with a brief prayer, and then we're going to sing a song when we do the sacrament.
All right.
Thank you, Father, for the amazing story of Jesus Christ. And Pastor Mack helped us to see, even in his own life, that his life is underneath the great story of what you did in sending your son to complete the eternal covenant that you made with Abraham. And we're looking forward, Father, because that covenant is going to be super fulfilled in the new creation. And we will live in your presence forever and ever and ever. So we thank you, Father, as in a few moments we go into the sacrament of holy baptism. Bless and guide us now, Father, as we respond to this message we've heard with a singing a song that captures the history of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together. Let's stand and sing. And this pulls together... God told Abraham, I will give you a land, and it goes right on through. So let's stand and sing this song.
God told Abraham, I will give you a land, a people as many as the stars. Though childless and old, he and Sarah believed, and trusted the word of the Lord. God gave them Isaac, a son at last, and this is the covenant he made. I am your God, you are my people. And when Jesus Christ came to live on the earth, God's promise to us was fulfilled. His life and his death were a new covenant, assurance of love full and free. God gave his son, his only son, to all who receive him, he says, I am your God, you are my people. To us and our children the promise is made, if we will but trust in his word. In baptism, joining the people of God, we live in the power of his grace. God gives us life, and we give him thanks. To you be our praise evermore. You are our God, we are your people.
You may be seated, and Pastor Mack, lead us forward into the sacrament.
Our Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are obeying God today, who said, be baptized, every one of you. Repent. And every one of you includes babies. I often think, what about every one of us don't people get? And so God has always included babies in the covenant. And babies are the most perfect picture of the grace of God. And at this time, I'd like to invite the Tablin family forward, including the grandparents and the uncles and aunts, because this is a family matter, a kingdom of God matter. Vows, because in every covenant there are vows to take to the Lord. The Lord in turn makes vows to you. He promises all the rights and privileges of a Christian in baptism. He promises to treat you as his child, as his beloved, and to listen to your prayers as you pray according to his word. And I'd like to ask you, friendly witnesses and family, do you promise before God to help raise Hero, Lee, Tema in the ways of the Lord, to teach him the Christian faith, to bring him to God's house, to help him to take the Lord's Supper, and to follow Christ in his footsteps? You promise before God to renounce Satan and his works, and to pray God's blessings on this child, and to keep this child before the Lord in your personal prayers. If you do, say, I do.
I do.
God has heard your confession, and so has the church. And now, having received your promise, I ask you to receive God's. And at this time, I baptize Hero in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May God's Spirit rest and abide upon you forever. May he write his laws upon your heart. May his love abound in you more and more. May you understand doctrine. May he protect you from the evil one, and these parents and these family members the same. And may you receive strength and zeal and good health to raise Hero after Christ, to love God, to love his covenant, and to love his word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I seal it. In the name of the resurrected Jesus Christ, I declare it. Through him who ascended to the right hand of the Father, may all the privileges, blessings, and responsibilities of the covenant descend upon you and upon this child. And may he dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as David said. And may his testimony be that the Lord has provided all my
present to you, Hero Lee Taplin. Converted and humble yourself as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mark this date in your family Bible.
By faith we see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts. And justice reign. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. Faith, the church was called to go in the power of the spirits to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
I'd like you in to lead you in prayer for the week ahead for our country. Just briefly, would you bow with me, Father? Father, we see the great context of what the church is in 2016, September 25, in the light of the whole history of salvation, one church declaring one message to people all around the world. And we put that in the context, Father, with all the troubles that we see in the world. And we long for people to turn to you. We long for, Pastor Mack talked about marriage. We long for people to see marriage as a gift from you from the very beginning of creation, and to raise children, as we often say here during baptism, to be independent of us and dependent on you. Bless Adam and Chami as they do that with their third son now in the context of their family, their immediate family, and their church family. We pray that hero's life will bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Thank you, Father, for our country. We praise your name for it, for all the many, many good things, the great soil that produces so many crops and produce and animals and birds and fish. Thank you for this country, O Lord. But God, we cry out to you, especially this week, as the people will be glued from all over the place to watch the debate tomorrow night. It's an important thing. But compared to your great covenant, you know, we put it all in context. But we do pray, O God, that you will lead our country, especially through this election season. And whatever happens, may the church not waver at all, but continue to preach the gospel and call men and women to repentance and faith. So we thank you again, God, in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord with our monetary offerings for the work of the church here and our denominational ministry shares, which goes all around the world for various ministries of the church.